space in that realm. They don't even know how to judge things that way, so it's hard to know how they're going to...
Well, he's got a precious...
Yeah. I felt real good about that. It was real good.
He was down in California. His wife writes a lot of books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was down there with Trinity.
Uh-huh.
And Trinity Broadcast Station doing a program for him. She was on. A
couple volunteers passed out papers over here. I understand here.
There were names.
Okay, so you're all caught up. Okay. Thanks, John. I'll mark them off here. That's on.
And they heard the rumor about everybody around here carries guns and all this.
Oh, boy.
And she said, well, my mechanic goes there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really believe it. I don't believe them.
That's good.
And then when she came back and asked us, a long time ago in the dissidents were... very
active by John Lukianoff. Mm-hmm.
With the whole stuff. And he just looked at me and said,
there's
something.
But, I'm not going to
believe what I'm here saying. Mm-hmm. And just kicked
out
the other day, basically.
Good.
Good. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Sweet brother. Yeah. Sweet brother. Good. Good. Good.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. Let's look at exercise 18. I think I gave you just the first two sections, wasn't it? A and B? Or did I? Okay. We'll go through those. And then part C you can do for tomorrow. That's a bit longer. We'll go through that then. Working on these verb forms, after we go through this exercise today, we'll do some work on the board here as far as setting up our paradigm. But exercise 18A is a transformation exercise again. Transform the sentence with active verbs into equivalent sentence with passive verbs. Retain the tense of the verb in the given sentence, but adjust the person number necessary. This, of course, has always been something to consider when you're converting from active to passive. Okay, so what we'll do, what I think we ought to do here is get some reading exercise while we're doing it. So what I'm going to have you do is we'll kind of go around the room here, and like the Hebrew students are used to doing, and I'd like you to read the Greek and then see if you can translate it as it is, and then make an attempt at the conversion to the passive. And we'll be merciful to you if you don't do everything perfectly, but it's a good exercise for your reading skills and so forth. We haven't done too much of that in this class yet. So maybe John over here just came back and get plunged into the thick of things here. Now, sentence one, just read the Greek first, then see if you can translate it. That wasn't part of the exercise, but we're just going to see how we can do here, and then try to convert it to passive. Right, yeah. Doug Burmis is always the first one in Hebrew class to get this, so. Go ahead.
Ton dulon, ton dulon, ton piston, luce hofurios.
Okay, what do you think it means?
God.
Right. God will loose the faithful slave or the faithful servant. Right. So it's future. So we want to now convert this to passive and say something like, the faithful servant will be loosed by the Lord. Yes, great. Hodulos hopistos luthesetai hupo tu kuriu. Luthesetai is your passive, future passive verb form here. So from luo, we had eluthane for the aorist passive. We take off the nu, we take off the augment, we get luthe, and then add the sigma, luthes, and then add our middle and passive ending, luthesetai. So, and we want a third person singular, of course, because hodulos now is our subject. So, hodulos, hopistos, luthesetai, hupo, tu kuriu. Great. Okay, number two, Eric, do you want to try that one?
soy tempsu sin emas.
Okay.
Emas temps temps esuleta hypoton apostolon.
Okay. You hemes pemphesometha. Pemphesometha. You have P epsilon mu phi theta eta sigma omicron mu epsilon theta alpha. Big word. Pemphesometha. And from pempo, you see, before when you add the theta on, before you put add the theta on, you the P changes to phi. So you get that phonological change, which is a regular change. Pemphesometha. And what was the meaning of the original sentence?
Sent us.
Yes, the apostles will send us. Future, yeah. The apostles will send us, and then the passage transforms, we will be sent by the apostles. Okay, good. Number three, Dan.
The
idea
that would be the church will hear me.
Yes, the church will hear me. Okay.
And they know
Good. Ego akus thesomai hypotes ekklesias. Akus thesomai. Okay, and then don't forget to go back to your off. If you're looking at the aorist passive base, it's got the 8 on it, you see, because of the augment. In the future, you don't have an augment, so you go back to an alpha. So it's akus thesomai. But you do have a sigma. This is an irregular one. An irregular first aorist passive, and so it's an irregular future passive too, because you get the sigma. See, it was started out as akuo. You wouldn't expect a sigma there, but it does appear. So it's alpha kappa omicron epsilon sigma theta eta sigma omicron mu alpha iota. Okay, ego akus thesomai hypotes ekklesias. Okay, Rick, do you want to try the next one, number four?
Huh? I didn't get a chance.
Okay. Do you want to take a stab at it anyway, just to see how instant in season and out of season? Go ahead and read the Greek there, and at least we'll see if we can get the first part here. Yes.
God.
That's to save. From sozo, to save.
God will save.
Okay, you. Yeah, God will save you, plural. Okay, good. The passive transform would be humes sothesestha hypotutheu. Humes sothesestha. That's sigma, omega, theta, eta, sigma, epsilon, sigma, theta, epsilon. Sothesestha hypotutheu. Okay. Let me check on this one. Oh, yeah, it's an irregular one. I think it's, so it should be on, yes.
That's why I put C paragraph 128.
Right. Yeah, he's just giving you a hint. Right. That's pretty nice, isn't it? He doesn't do it all the time, though. Yes, it's an irregular one. So you would have expected a sigma, because the zeta, you would expect to change the sigma before, but it doesn't get it. So there's also a change, too. The iota subscript drops out, too. But that's typical for most of the forms. It's except for the present. Okay, so thesis there instead of so stasis there, like you might expect. Okay, number five, Army, try that. Yes. Okay, and what does that mean? Right. The prophets will write the commandments, okay, in the passive? Okay, hypoton propheton. Okay, this is going to be an irregular one also. In the future passive, it's going to be built on the aorist passive base. And remember, the aorist passive, it was a second aorist passive. So the aorist passive was at graphane. So the future passive is going to be in this form, graphesontai. Just a phi there. You don't get a theta on this. This would be a second aorist passive, so it would be a second future. In fact, sometimes if you see some textbooks call it second future, So sometimes if you see that terminology in some books, you wonder, what is the second future, you know? Well, it's just because the future passive forms are, the second future passive is what it would be, but future passive forms are built on the aorist passive form, and if the aorist passive form is a second aorist passive, then the future passive form is going to be, could be also considered a second future. Some books don't render it that. He doesn't call it a second future, really, I don't think. At least not in the terminology he's using here. But you will see it once in a while. So in case that you run across that, some students have run across that and wonder, what is that? Well, it's just built on a second aorist passive. So graph face on tie. It's just irregular. It's a second aorist. No theta there. Okay, good. Number six, Tony, take a stab at that one.
Poistratiotai, ekanoi, dioxusin, dioxusin, say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure on what
stratiotai. I mean soldiers.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if we've had it yet or not. We might have had it incidentally in one of the exercises. I don't think we had it in vocab.
Okay. Those soldiers persecuted you.
Okay, yeah, just make it future tense. We'll persecute. Dioxusin, yeah. So those soldiers will persecute or pursue, depending on what the context is, will pursue or persecute you. Okay, we get strategy and a lot of terms like that from the same kind of root for stratiotai. Okay, then now we want to say you will be pursued or persecuted by those soldiers.
I think it's Sue.
Sue, yeah. Okay, well, you want a genitive form. You want hupo ton stratioton. It's genitive plural. Yeah, hupo ton stratioton ekanon. Or ekanon ton stratioton, if you change the word order from what they had. It has to be in a predicate position, though. So hupo ton stratioton ekanon. But your verb form should be, you want a future passive form now. And so that's going to be built in the aorist passive. Dioko had a kappa in it, so before the theta can be added, it has to be changed to chi. And you're going to want a second person singular ending. So it's going to end up being dioch thesei. That's delta, iota, omega, chi, theta, eta, sigma, eta with the iota subscript. Eta with the iota subscript. That's your ending. Remember, just your present, middle, and passive endings is basically what you're dealing with here. Primary, middle, and passive endings is the chart terminology is. So it's an eta with the iota subscript ending on there because of the su. Okay? That's not an easy one there. So su dioch theise hupo ton stratioton ekanon. Okay, Glenn, number seven.
The Lord will lead their churches.
Okay, it just be his. Yeah, our two is just singular.
Your church.
Yeah. No, his church.
His church.
Okay, got it. Yeah, the Lord will lead his church, or the Lord will lead the church of him.
Okay.
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 Right. Hey, ekklesia autu, achthesetai, hupo tu kuriu. Okay? Achthesetai should be spelled alpha, chi, theta, eta, sigma, epsilon, tau, alpha, iota. So we've got several considerations here, again, from ago, and the aorist passive was achthane, and so now we have to do several things to that. We have to take the augment off, which in this case will amount to changing the eta back to an alpha. We have to take the nu off the end and put a sigma on there. So that becomes ach theis, and then the ending, etai, third person singular. Yes?
Yes, so I'm not real sure on. In ach theis,
mm-hmm.
And that one is also in the oak.
Yes.
They say.
Okay.
Where it becomes the chi from paragraph 136.
Okay.
It would seem that it's saying that you add a sigma, and But then we're also adding the theta, is that correct?
Okay, excuse me.
But if we have the sigma, the kappa becoming C.
Mm-hmm. No, the sigma's in a different spot. You see, the thing you're talking about here is the thing right after the original present base. But this sigma comes after the theta of the new base, you see. In other words, the sigma that we're adding here is only a sigma that's replacing the new that was on that dictionary form of the sixth principle part. So it's a different sigma in a different place. Okay. That's the trick there. So potentially sometimes you get two sigmas involved. Because sometimes you had a base change. For example, if the base was a dental stem and the base ended in a delta or something, then before the theta, that delta is going to change to sigma. And then in the aorist passive future passive, you're adding another sigma onto the base after you've taken the new off. Or you can think of the new being changed to a sigma if you want to. Okay? Yeah, it's good to get that point clarified because you can get some confusion there. Yes?
Just so that I make sure I understand this.
Okay.
In translating Canaan to Siena, if you wanted to say their church, you would say Auton?
Yes, right. Auton Omega Nu. Right. That would be the church of them. Mm-hmm. And if it's singular, then it's the church of him. Or it could be the church of it, its church. You know, depending on what the antecedent was, but you'd normally assume if you don't, in an exercise like this, it's going to be, since it's referring to the Lord, then it'd be his church. Okay? If it were the Logos or something like that, then it might be its church. Well, in this context, there isn't much for it to point back to. You know, in other words, if all you're given is this sentence, you would assume it points back to Hokurios. But it may not in some other context. In other words, the previous sentence was, the Lord loved his apostle, and then the next sentence was, the Lord will lead his church. The his might refer back to the apostle. So you don't really know for sure. Just the word out to by itself is a pronoun, so it's taking the place of some other noun. And what noun it's taking the place of has to be determined by context and so forth. Sometimes it is a bit ambiguous, too. There can be some question about it. But if you've only got an exercise like this, you would assume it's referring back to Kurios. Yes?
I had listened to the correction of exercise 17B on tape, and mm-hmm. along the same line.
17D?
Yeah, number 7.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that if we do it just the way we're doing the rest of it,
right,
that it becomes very ambiguous.
Okay.
Because the hymn of him.
Oh, yes.
So when I wrote it down, I put two options. I put esothes on kupo auton hoi duloi tu kuriu.
Okay.
Very clear. And I changed the structure of the sentence so that it would say exactly what it said before, because that's what they said.
Uh-huh.
It had the same meaning.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
That is more definite as to what it's saying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what we started out with was Lord saved his apostle. And so you translated it how? Again?
The apostle of the Lord was saved by him.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, yeah, you've done a little bit of rewriting there because... it may be justifiable for the purposes of clarification.
Yeah. It's
so
the point it brought up, though,
mm-hmm.
was in the passive structure,
mm-hmm.
as we were doing it before, saying the slave of him.
It gets a little awkward. You've got a point, yeah. His slave is...
Would you understand that in the context? Normally?
Well, to be honest, I think that actually you've got a point in what you've done there, because hoi doula out to, the auto is kind of hanging, dangling in nowhere before you get to the agent. And to be honest, normally in Greek you're not going to see that. Normally in Greek you'd see something, a word change such that auto would be somewhere close to kuriu there, so you can see what it's referring to. In other words, it's unusual to see an auto hanging, coming first before it's gotten any hint as to what it means. Lots of word order things vary in Greek, and for your exercises you can do it the way it was done here and no problem, but I think in reality, in the actual context of Greek, I doubt that you'd ever see something like that. You might see it once in a while, but it wouldn't be, certainly wouldn't be a common way of doing things. Okay. Is there any more questions on number 7 up there? Be sure and ask if there's any question on how these verb forms are made. We'll go through it today again in this paradigm situation and so forth, but we want to try to get as much exposure to this as possible. Don't let it all be in darkness and confusion until the day before the test and then try to figure it out. It's not the time to do it, I can assure you. Number 8, Kirby.
Jesus told to go there if you said.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus healed or will heal.
Tuflon is blind man. Yeah, blind one. Yeah, Jesus will heal the blind man or the blind one. Okay? So now we want to say the blind one will be healed by Jesus.
Tuflo to Yesu go to close there a few days of time.
Okay. Hippo to Yesu go to flos. Therapeuthesetai, or you could say just hold two flows, therapeuthesetai, hypo to Yesu. Okay, form for the verb, therapeuthesetai. This is just a stem that has a vocalic ending, so there's no problem adding the theta to it. It's not an irregular one, so you just basically add theta, eta, sigma to the present stem, and then you add your ending. That's it. It's basically like luo in this respect. Can't always count on it being this nice, but this one it happens to be. So, therapeuthesetai. Okay, questions, anyone? Number 9, Hans? Okay. Right, John will prepare the way of the Lord. Okay, and how do we put that in passage? Okay, here's another mouthful. Hetoi mas thesetai, right. Hetoi mas thesetai hupo tu yuanu. Okay, spelling on that is epsilon tau omicron iota. Iota omicron, excuse me. No, wait a minute. How did I do that? Okay, yeah, omicron iota, had it right the first time. Mu alpha sigma theta eta sigma epsilon tau alpha iota. Now, again, and this one, it was hetoimazo to start with. You had a zeta. That zeta will change to regular phonological change to a sigma. It's one of those dental stems. And then we add our theta, eta, and then our sigma for the future passive stem, and then epsilon tau alpha iota. Okay, questions? Number 10, Daniel. Okay.
The disciple will baptize these sinners.
Yes, the disciple will baptize these sinners. Okay, passive transform on that one. Good. Hoi hamartoloi, putoi. Baptis thesontai hupo tu mate tu. Baptis thesontai is beta, alpha, p, tau, iota, sigma, theta, eta, sigma, omicron, nu, tau, alpha, iota. Okay, this next one, I think I'll just run through this one. Now, the rest of you that got off the hook today, tomorrow when we do 18C, we'll give you an opportunity. So we'll pick up, and remind me to pick up where Mark is here, and then we'll, for tomorrow. Everybody sit in the same place. Yeah, I can just see. The ones that get here first are going to sit over on this side. And about 5 minutes to eight, they'll have this side all filled up, all the way to the back, and nobody over here. We'll find a way to get you anyway. Okay. Now, this is good for you, and I'm not grading you, specifically on how quick you're doing this. So I just we find that in any kind of language study, as much audience participation as you can get, the better the learning will be. Okay, exercise 18B. Write in the space provided at the right, correct form of the verb luo to bathe, which translates the verb in the sentence which precedes it. Okay, now we're going a little bit the reverse direction from what we saw before, and now we're adding our futures and so forth involved here, too. So they will bathe. They give you the model, lusontai, using a middle form, future middle form here. And number one, she will bathe the child. Maybe we'll just take volunteers here. Anyone suggest what? Yes, Mark?
Luce.
Luce, yes. Just lambda, omicron, upsilon, sigma, epsilon, iota. And this would be what type of form? Future active. Future active. Okay, we want active because it's a simple subject, verb, object, sentence structure. Okay, number two, the child will bathe. The child will bathe. Yes, Steve?
Lucetai.
Yeah, Lucetai. Lucetai. Lambda, omicron, upsilon, sigma, epsilon, tau, alpha, iota. And this would be a future middle form. The future middle form. And then the children will be bathed. Okay, what would that be? Daniel?
Luthesetai.
Yeah. Yes, luthesetai or luthesontai, depending on, you see, children happens to be a neuter plural in Greek. And so you could use either a singular form, luthesetai, or luthesontai, plural form. So either way is possible. But notice it's a future passive form, future passive now. The children will be bathed. Okay, number four, she had the child bathed. Yes, Glenn?
No, I want to ask a question about this
one
and the next one in 13 and
14.
That's a strange way of writing it. I took it that as a middle form.
Yes, you took it right.
Is that, how, well, then it would be elusato.
Yes. Elusato. Okay.
But why is that a middle form? How is she involved with it?
Okay.
It wasn't any of
my sauce. Right. Yeah, okay. Sometimes that's the best way to go. It's kind of the catch-all for things that don't fit anywhere else. But she had the child bathed. Well, this is the causative sense of it. In other words, she had the. It's either causative or permissive or something of this nature. I think, what term did he use? He used causative, I guess. Yes. So the middle voice, on your page 104, third use of the middle voice. The middle voice may express a causative meaning. That is, the subject of the verb in the middle voice may indicate the person who causes or allows an action to perform, be performed. Okay, so that's what's happening here. It says she had the child bathed. Means that she didn't actually do the bathing of the child, but she had the child bathed. So she came to some place and had somebody else do it. Now, because it says she had the child bathed, then she did something in the interest of the action. She didn't perform the action directly, but she allowed the action to be performed. And so, she's not the one that's either doing the action directly or receiving the action, but she's involved in the actions being performed. And so middle voice is often used to describe the same thing. In other words, the action's actually being received by the child, but she is the one who is not performing the action, but allowing the action to be performed. So in this case, the subject is involved in the performing of the action, but not directly. Okay, another question on that?
In the examples in the book they gave, I had an
audio. Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what's the difference between she had the child bathed and she had bathed the child, which is the perfect active sense?
Okay, if you say she had bathed the child, that's just a perfect verb form, and that would be telling you that she did the bathing. She did the action. She was the one that took the child, put it in the tub, and scrubbed it down. See? Okay. Then, but if we say she had the child bathed, she had it bathed, the meaning of that is that she told someone else or you know, hired someone else or somehow commanded someone else or something to do the bathing of the child. She didn't actually perform the action. She was the one that gave the permission for the action to be performed or somehow, you know, turned it over to someone else to have it performed. That's the distinction there. Whereas she had bathed the child, that's just a perfect action. It was already done in the past. It's a different tense idea. See, the confusion that comes is that the verb had, to have something done, or to have done something, is a different idea. English uses the same auxiliary verb to express both of those kinds of meanings. And to have something done is meaning to permit, allow, command, something of that nature, an action to be performed, but not do the actual performing. And that's where the distinction lies here. And it's a little bit difficult because of the way English translates these things and uses the same auxiliary verb for both kinds of meanings. It uses the auxiliary verb to express the past. You see, in Greek, to get the perfect, we'll have a different verb form. We won't use an auxiliary verb. We won't ever run into that confusion, at least in the Greek forms. But and then another thing that's perhaps confusing is that in this sentence, like you said before, I had myself anointed. It was yourself that was being anointed. But still there, I had myself anointed means that I didn't anoint myself, but I had myself anointed. I went to somebody and had myself anointed by someone else. And so the idea there again is this permissive or causative type of thing, where you caused the action to take place, but you didn't perform the action. Right, but you actually didn't do it yourself. Okay? Now, there is a problem in some cases. When you're given the English like this, you know what to do with the Greek. But suppose you saw the Greek verb elousato, for example. This form in this context could mean either she had the child bathed or she bathed the child for her own benefit or something like this somehow. In other words, there could be an ambiguity in the Greek as to exactly what's happening. You have to kind of rely on context somewhat. If it's pretty clear that she took the child to someone else and had it done, then you would translate it, she had the child bathed, it with a middle voice form. If it's pretty clear that she did it herself, but she bathed the child in order to look good for her neighbors or something like that, who were going to come over to see the child or something, then you might see a middle voice there also, but you might translate something like she bathed the child for herself, or something along those lines. Sometimes a little bit difficult to find a good translation for it.
Mm-hmm. I think the indirect meaning of the two understand this sentence that in the book here, it does not only indicate the form of the action, but also that tool for which the action
right.
is formed.
Right. That's what I'm getting at, the second idea that would be indirect reflexive. So in other words, sometimes it's hard to tell if you're given a Greek sentence whether if it's got a subject, a middle verb form, and a direct object. It could be either the indirect reflexive or it could be this causative idea. Both of those ideas might be seen there, and usually both of them can work in a context like that. If you see, though, only the verb form, only a middle verb form and no direct object, it's usually going to be a reflexive idea, a direct reflexive idea. You did it to yourself or something like that. You bathed yourself, that type of an idea. But if you see a direct object in addition, then you've got to be going either for an indirect reflexive idea in which it's showing that to or for which the action is performed. The subject is both performing the action and is the one to or for which it's performed. Or it would have to be a concessive or a causative type of an idea in which the subject is allowing the action to be performed somehow. And oftentimes if a person's in leadership or authority and he says, you know, he had such and such, he had this criminal executed, he had this and so forth, he's the one that's initiating the action in a certain sense. He's not performing the action, but he is commanding the action to be performed, and he's having it done by someone else. But you see, it would never be done unless he was the one that allowed it to. He's the one that has authority. The action would never be performed by that someone else were it not for his involvement. He was involved in the actions being performed in terms of giving the permission or the command for it to be performed, but he did not actually do the performing of the action. We're not real used to this in English. We can express this with forms like to have something done, but that's about as close as we can do it. Or we could say he commanded this to be done or something and just use a completely different verb form and express the whole idea. But Greek can do it with this middle verb form. Okay, and it's the hardest thing to get used to in Greek verb forms. I don't think there's anything more difficult than the middle voice. Even the subjunctive and other things we have pretty direct correspondence to in English, but this is a little bit tough to get used to. Okay, does that answer your question on that? Okay, let's look at some of these other forms and try to confirm that if we can. Let's see, that was number four. Okay, number five, she will have the child bathed. Okay, the same structure now, only its future. She will have the child bathed. So she will in the future have the child bathed by somebody, see? In fact, in some cases, you might even see an agent expressed here. You could see she will have the child bathed by the servant. And you could have Hupo, you know, to Dulu there and get that agent expressed even in a sentence like this.
Mm-hmm. It's the same form in the future. Mm-hmm. Middle and passive, how do you know that's not a passive form?
Well, sometimes you won't if it's still, in other words, if the verb form agrees with that agent as far as number and so forth, you might not know. In other words,
how would you write this in the Greek? She will have the child bathed by the servant.
Okay. Okay. Let me see here. Okay. Yeah. You could just say, you might just use a form for she, but most likely you could say aute lusitai, excuse me, to technon hupo to dulu. Okay. So she will have the child bathed by the servant. Now, the reason that you know that it's not, see, the passive structure will be, the child will be bathed by the servant. Okay. Actually, in this case, you do have that ambiguity because child is third person singular, and she would also have been third person singular. If you took the aute out, see, if you left the aute in, you'd be all right. If you leave the aute in, then, what was that?
It would have to be a middle
form. Yes. If you leave the aute in, it's got to be a middle form in, because you've got a stated subject now. And you've got a subject, and then you've also got an indirect agent, so you've got to have a middle form here. But if you left out aute, for example, and just said lusitai, just use the verb form, now you've got a question, because lusitai could mean the passive form for, well, since it's future, we're all right. Here's another thing. It's future form, so this is definitely a future middle form. Future passive form would be luthesitai. But suppose we were looking at a present or an imperfect, then you'd have trouble. At a present or imperfect, if you left out the stated subject, so forth, and they're both third-person singular, there could be a question as to whether it's a passive or a middle. And in those cases, you're more likely to opt for the passive, because that's used more frequently. In other words, if it's ambiguous and you don't know which way to go, lean toward the passive rather than the middle, because that's more likely to be the one that's used. Right, if it's got a direct object, it's going to have to be a middle. It won't be a passive if there's a direct object there. But you see, with a neuter plural, you don't know. See, again, the ambiguity was here. With child, it's neuter singular. That could either be nominative or accusative. So that's where you get it. We found one of the best examples for all the ambiguities. But seldom are all those ambiguities going to line up in one place. I mean, you have to have it just right. And usually in Greek, if it's going to happen that way, they'll just put another word in there or something to clarify it. If you used aute, yeah, if you used aute there, then you would have no problem. Okay. That would be an interesting pastime, is to construct Greek ambiguities. See, make the most ambiguous sentence you can find. Okay. Yeah. Throw a lot of genitives in and a lot of neuter singulars and neuter plurals and so forth. Okay. They were bathing the children. Okay, in this case, we do have a direct object. And so we know that what we're looking at is going to have to be either an active or possibly a middle. And in this case, there's no indication of a middle, at least as far as the English translation is concerned. They're just bathing the children. And so the form would be, and this would be, what verb form, what tense idea? We're bathing, what would that come out as? Tense idea. Imperfect, right. Progressive action in the past. If it was just they bathed the children, then you'd use an aorist. But since it was they were bathing the children, you want to be sure to get that progressive aspect down. So you want an imperfect form, and that would be eluon. Eluon. Epsilon, lambda, omicron, upsilon, omicron, nu. Be sure you get the omicron, upsilon there. That makes it, that's the stem of this particular verb. So that's an imperfect active form. Third person plural. Okay, the children were bathing. Eluato would be the form you'd want, or eluonto. Eluonto. Again, this is just a middle voice because they were bathing and they were bathing themselves, is the idea. So an imperfect middle, and of course it's the same form as the imperfect passive, so there'd be a potential ambiguity, but if it were a passive form, you'd normally you know, you translate the children were being bathed, I suppose in this particular case, you know, as far as if you saw only the Greek, it could be ambiguous. But since they've given you the English and telling you how to say it in Greek, then there's no problem here.
Can you repeat this form again?
Okay, either if you use the singular form, neuter plural is going to get a singular verb form, elueto. That's epsilon, lambda, omicron, upsilon, epsilon, tau, omicron, or eluonto, just omicron, nu, tau, omicron ending, if you chose to use the plural form.
Isn't that imperfect?
Right, imperfect middle. Mm-hmm. Imperfect middle. But of course, imperfect, the middle and passive forms are the same. So you might say, technically, it's an imperfect middle or passive. But because the English sentence was a middle meaning, we've designated this as being middle. Okay, the child was being bathed. Again, we want progressive action in the past, so it's going to be imperfect. And this one will be imperfect passive. The child was being bathed. Didn't state the agent here, but it's definitely a passive construction. So this comes out the same, though, in the Greek. Elueto, exactly the same as above. So in other words, in the Greek, there's no way to tell between these two sentence structures. And context would have to decide whether it's the children were bathing or the child was being bathed. Oh, I guess there is a distinction here. This one's singular and the other one is plural. But aside from that, there wouldn't be any way to tell. And this one being singular, elueto would be the only option. It would not be onto. This is just a singular. That's an imperfect passive form. Number nine, you singular will bathe. Okay, this is, we're going to want here a future middle form, second person singular. You singular will bathe. We want a future and we want it middle because you're bathing yourself. So, luce would be the form. Lambda, omicron, upsilon, sigma, eta with the order subscript. Luce. Number 10, you plural will be bathed. You plural will be bathed. Okay, we want second person plural, future passive form. Future passive because you will be bathed. Be bathed by someone, you see. So you will be the one who receives the action, in other words. And luthesis, that would be the form then. Lambda, omicron, upsilon, theta, eta, sigma, epsilon, sigma, theta, epsilon. Luthesis that. Okay, number 11, we shall bathe. Here we want future middle. We shall bathe ourselves, that type of an idea. So future middle form for that would be lusomatha, lambda, omicron, upsilon, sigma, omicron, mu, epsilon, theta, alpha. Lusomatha, first person plural, future middle form. Number 12, I bathed, is just an aorist form, and this would be an aorist middle because of, bathing yourself type of an idea. So elusamen. Epsilon, lambda, omicron, upsilon, sigma, alpha, mu, epsilon, alpha, mu, eta, nu. Alpha, mu, eta, nu. Aorist middle, first person singular. I had the children bathed. Okay, this is going to be the same meaning, except that, the same verb form. You would tell the difference because of the fact of the word children here. But this would be the causative middle idea again that we talked about in numbers 4 and 5. And so you want, again, an aorist middle, and the form is first-person singular, so it'll be just like form number 12, elusamen, elusamen. Okay, questions, anyone on that one? It's just the same thing. It's a causative use of the middle voice. I had the children bathed. So I didn't bathe them, but I had them bathed. So I was involved in the action, but not directly. Okay. So that means that the action was performed in my interest in a certain sense, because I'm the one that had it done. I didn't perform the action, but those who did perform the action performed it in some sense in my interest. And that's where the middle idea is coming from. Number 14, I shall have the children bathed. Same idea, but future. So this would be a future middle form, first person singular. That would be lusomai, lusomai. Lambda, omicron, upsilon, sigma, omicron, mu, alpha, iota, lusomai. Future middle is just formed in the future base with the present middle and passive endings, or primary middle and passive endings. And then number 15, we shall be bathed. We shall be bathed. That's going to be future passive. Future passive, first person plural. So it's luthesomatha. Luthesomatha. Lambda, omicron, upsilon, theta, eta, sigma, omicron, mu, epsilon, theta, alpha. Luthesomatha. Yes?
Glenn? We shall be bathed. We obviously are allowing the action to be performed.
Well, it's not really, no, it's not necessarily allowing the action to be performed. Somebody may sneak up on you, grab you, throw you in the bathtub, and you were bathed, you know. In other words, it's not likely, but if you know, normally in real life, you know, if you are allowing such actions to be performed, but the Greek isn't really stating that allowance. In other words, if the Greek wanted to express that idea, they would say, you know, we would translate English, we shall have ourselves bathed. And that way you would use a middle form. Or if you used a middle form, it could be, we shall bathe ourselves. Or we shall have ourselves bathed. But we shall be bathed is only pointing to the fact that we're going to be the recipients of the action. It's not suggesting that we've initiated it somehow. Normally that will be the case, but it's conceivable that, like I said, you may not have had any voluntary action involved. Okay? So some of those things are fine points.
And if it's a middle, you could say either we shall bathe or we shall allow ourselves to be
right.
Would it look the same in the Greek?
Right. It would look the same. And you'd have to look at the context to decide which it was. Those two are perhaps the two most ambiguous situations, because whether it's going to be causative or whether it's going to be, in this case, if you don't have any object stated, it could be any one of those three. And, you know, it's a sentence that's so short where all you have basically is a middle verb form. You don't have a lot of other things to tie it down, so it could be any one of those three. Normally, in real life, you'll see enough other information to tie it down to one of those three meanings. But there will be times when maybe two of them, especially the last two, that indirect reflexive and the causative, there may be a number of situations in which you see an ambiguity between those two. Okay. So 18C you can do for tomorrow. It's 33 of those. It's translated from English to Greek. Once you see, a lot of these are kind of built on each other, though, so you may just elect to use ditto marks or something so that you don't have to write everything over and over again. But we'll go through that tomorrow. Okay, we've only got a few minutes left here, and don't know if I'm going to have time to get out very much of this on the board. Maybe we'll get started with it. I'll start with this one chart, and if I can start drawing it on the board, maybe we'll write save on it or something, and we can finish it up tomorrow. It's probably be the best way to do it. What we're trying to do is come up with the minimum number of paradigm memorization charts to learn all these verb forms. And so what we've had so far are present, future, imperfect, and aorist tenses, and active, middle, and passive voices. And it's all indicative mood so far, so we're not dealing with any different moods. We'll get to those later. But we want to find a way to be able to figure out how to make all these forms. So what we're going to need to know is what all the different ending systems are, and then when to use the various ending systems, and when to put augments on and when not to, and so forth, and what kind of phonological changes will occur. So to summarize all of this, let's make a chart here, and this is the first chart we'll make. Divide this up into active. So we'll put the tenses over here and the voices across the top. Active, middle, and passive voice. And then the tenses, we'll put those down the columns here. Actually, only four tenses, but we'll split it up into five categories because of first and second aorist. So we'll have present, future, imperfect, first aorist, and second aorist. These are really only one tense, but two different forms for them. And since we're interested in all the various forms, we have to be interested in that. Okay. Now, in each of these categories, I'm going to break this down. I guess I should have had another line in here. In each of these categories, We'll have another subcategory. Maybe I better make double lines for these major hymns. Okay. We'll have the stem and the endings. That's what we're always interested in making our forms. What's the stem and what are the endings that go on it? The endings are the variable part, and the stem will be the constant part. In other words, the stem is the part that stays the same through that paradigm, and the ending is the part that changes. Okay, so we'll have stem, endings here in the middle, and stem and endings for the passive forms. Okay, now going to fill in the chart here, in the present tense, in the active voice, the stem that we have is going to be just the present stem. So I'll just put present here. And for luo, we'll use our modal verb luo here. It's just the stem lu for luo. So it's just a simple stem. Just lop off the ending off the dictionary form and you have it. So that's your first principal part or present stem. The endings are what are called the primary active. Primary active endings. And I'll give you those ending charts next time. But we'll call them primary active, and the first one of those is omega. So we'll just put down that first ending just so we key it in on which paradigm we're talking about. So your primary active endings were the first set of endings we learned for verbs. Okay. So it's just omega, and epsilon iota sigma, and epsilon iota, and omen, eta, and so forth, you see. Okay, then in the middle voice for the present, we have the same stem, present stem, lu, but we have a different set of endings. We have the primary, middle, and passive endings. Primary, middle, and passive endings. And the first one of those was omai. Omai, lu, etai, omota, is the one total set of endings. And we'll write the paradigm for those endings up a little bit too. So stem is the same, so the only difference between the active and the middle and the present is the stem is the same, but the endings are different. Now for the passive, we have again the present stem, lu, and we have again the primary, middle, and passive endings. Oh my. So there's no difference at all between the middle and passive in the present, and we've already discovered that. I just put a little line in here to indicate that, just to kind of tie those two sets together, because there's no difference between them. So your present, middle, and passive forms are exactly the same. The context is the only thing that can tell you whether it's middle or passive, but the forms themselves are the same. Okay, any questions there? Now, as far as the actual ending systems, we'll draw those charts and paradigms a little bit later. Okay, then the future, to form our future verb forms, we, in the active, the stem for the active is going to be the future stem, and which is normally the present stem plus sigma, that's normally, but because it's not always regular, it's actually the second principal part. So the future stem is the second principal part, even add that in, second PP, principal part. And the present was the first principal part. But normally, and for regular verbs, it's going to be present, the present stem plus sigma. And there'll be certain phonological changes that will occur, of course, with some verbs where adding a sigma to them, you had that chart that you had to memorize. So I would add to your paradigms that chart that you had to memorize for adding sigma to certain stems, and then also the chart that, basically the same chart, but the one that you needed to use when you added theta to certain stems and the phonological changes thereof. Because that's part of forming these regular forms. They're still considered regular. So in the case of luo, it's just lus, lambda, epsilon, sigma. So you take this present stem on a regular verb and add sigma to it. Okay, and then the endings are just the primary active again. So it's going to be omega. So the endings are just like the ones above, just a stem change. So the difference between present and future in the active is only the stem, and the endings are the same. Okay, that's all the time we'll have. I'll put, let's say this.
Erase everything you're going to say, right?
Yeah. If you came in late, didn't get your test paper, probably up here.
I was here a couple days, came in 5 minutes.
Oh, you missed the rule book? Okay. If there's just a few minutes, go ahead and sign. Oh, okay. Go ahead and sign over those. It's just a few minutes. You've been here. Okay. Thanks, Steve.
It could be useful somehow if you have that chart at the beginning of the process and just go in and fill it in as we went along.
Yeah, it might be. I'll have to consider that. You know, different textbooks approach it different ways. Most of them kind of take it piece by piece and then put the chart at the end. But
memorize as you go along.
Sure. It might be good to. Do something like that. Oh,
present plus sigma.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You're going to start out today in the discussion hour. You're going to summarize on time.